Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
He was supposed to be standing trial this week.
Brian Walsh. The man accused of murdering his wife, Anna Walsh, on New Year's Day a couple years back. It was October 20th, exactly. 2025, that was supposed to be the trial date. The day that Brian Walsh would finally walk into the Norfolk County courtroom and face a jury, not for a fraud charge, not for some procedural violation, for the murder of his wife, for the alleged everything that happened. It involved taking her apart. 39-year-old mother of three who vanished after a New Year's Eve dinner in 2022 and hasn't been seen since. But instead of opening statements and witness testimony, that courtroom is silent because Brian Walsh isn't on trial this week. He's undergoing a court-ordered mental health evaluation, a 20-day competency assessment at Bridgewater State Hospital. The reason? His attorney claims he's not well enough to stand trial. I mean, look at him. He's wearing pajamas that have knives on them and appears blood. He's holding a teddy bear. He's got a thermometer in his mouth. He's clearly not well. That's not real, by the way. That's an artist's rendition of with a lot of artisanal variety sprinkled in of what may be going on behind the closed doors of Bridgewater State Hospital. It's a little exaggerated, but you get the gist. So his attorneys say not well enough to stand trial. They say that after a recent stabbing inside the jail, his mental and physical health have significantly declined. I'm sure they were really strong before, considering what he's accused of doing and his Google searches and his history of being just an upstanding human being. He can no longer effectively participate in his own defense. That's what they're saying, and that is the bar. If you can't effectively participate in your own defense, then guess what? You go off to an institution. You don't go to prison or have a trial, for that matter. Now, the court granted this motion. It's a test. It's a temporary. It's a let's see the waters. Let's put our foot in. The trial is off as of right now, but it is going to come back. A new hearing now set for October 27th to determine whether he's even fit to move forward. And that's That right there is the play. That's the stall. That's the tactical exploitation of a system built to protect the vulnerable. Now, there are reasons to have that in there, that law, that rule. You have to be able to participate in your own defense. Brian Walsh, well, he's the type of folk who likes to expose vulnerabilities in other people and take advantage of them. Just take his Andy Warhol paintings, for example, that weren't real Andy Warhol paintings that he was selling online and then was convicted of selling online and fraudulently selling online and then had to wear an ankle monitor and basically be confined to his apartment for many years. And shocker, his beautiful wife, Anna, said, "You're a piece of shit. I don't need you in my life." Although she didn't quite have a chance to quite say that aloud, apparently. Because I think he knew it was coming. She was ready. She was getting ready to get the hell out of there, away from this piece of shit. And he didn't like that. This narcissist cannot be wrong. And he's one of those where, if I can't have you, no one can types. Isn't he? I mean, just look, that's my conjecture on the guy. And now she's gone and he's there. He's exploiting the system that's built to protect the vulnerable, now being used to shield the accused. Because Brian Walsh isn't just buying time, he's leveraging it, weaponizing delay, and doing it all under the banner of due process. So let's be clear about something from the very start. Every defendant in this country has the right to be competent during trial, to understand the charges against them, to assist in their own defense. That's not up for debate. That's not some luxury clause. It's foundational. But when you stack that right next to the mountain of evidence already built against this man, the Google searches, the blood in the basement, the purchases, the timeline, the lying, and you look at the timing of his mental health claim, the red flags stop looking medical and they start looking really strategic. What am I talking about? Let's walk back. January 1st, 2023, New Year's Day, Anna Walsh is reported missing. Her hubby, Brian, tells police she left early that morning for a work emergency in Washington, D.C., supposedly caught an Uber to the airport before dawn, except there's no Uber, there's no airport footage, there's no flight, no credit cards used, no texts, her phone never leaves the house. Great story, Brian. He seemed super competent back then, didn't he? Within days, it's clear. She didn't leave. She disappeared. And then the timeline starts closing in. On January 2nd, the day after Anna supposedly vanished, Brian Walsh walks into a Home Depot. Surveillance cameras capture him buying $450 worth of cleaning supplies, mops, tarps, buckets, towels, baking soda, trash bags. He's wearing gloves, a face mask, and he's paying in cash. When police execute a search warrant on the family's Cohasset home, they find a damaged knife and blood in the basement. Investigators say it looked like someone had attempted to clean it up. They find the car's interior covered in plastic. They seize multiple digital devices, phones, iPads, laptops. And it's there they uncover what can only be described as a playbook. Google searches, time-stamped and chilling. On his son's iPad. "Hey, let me borrow that for a second, buddy. Want to look up the scores of the game?" "Okay, Dad, here you go." Let's see here. How do we get rid of your mother's remains? I see you want me to upload or update the Angry Birds app for you? Okay, I've got it going on. Hang on, I need a few more minutes, son. How long before a body starts to smell? One of the searches. 10 ways to dispose of a body if you really need to. If you really need, I wonder if that was autofill, where it was just like 10 ways to dispose of a body, and then "if you really need to" came up and just enter. Can you be charged with murder without a body? How to stop a body from decomposing? Dismemberment. This is where it gets messed up. And the best ways to do it. Like there's going to be a Martha Stewart vlog post about it. "Hello, friends. Today I'm going to show you how I dismembered my butler, Raul. It's a good thing." how you can throw away body parts. What happens to hair on a body? Can identification be made on partial remains? Those are just some of the searches. Just a small fraction. If you're like, oh my God, well, he's guilty. You're right. You are damn right he's guilty. I mean, oh, just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. There's blood in the basement of your wife who's missing. And you're doing these searches and paying in cash as you go into the Home Depot to buy your Breaking Bad supplies. Searches that began just minutes after prosecutors believe Anna was last seen alive. Now, that alone, the string of digital queries is enough to raise alarms. But it doesn't stop there. Trash bags from a transfer station near Brian's mother's house are recovered and tested. And inside, police find towels, rags, clothing, a Tyvek suit, gloves, all stained with Anna's blood. And they find a hacksaw, too, a hatchet, a knife. Brian's fingerprints are present. DNA tests later confirm Anna's presence on many of the items, which makes me want to say this. It's a damn shame the stabbing in prison wasn't successful. You know, just like Aaliyah says in the song, you can dust it off and try again. You can dust it off and try again, if at first you don't succeed. And this isn't some guy with no background. Brian Walsh wasn't a stranger to legal trouble. At the time of Anna's disappearance, he was already awaiting sentencing on federal art fraud, a scheme involving forged Andy Warhol paintings, a scam he pled guilty to. The guy knew how to lie, knew how to charm, knew how to manipulate. He was under house arrest at the time, allegedly with restricted movement, but not so restricted that he couldn't find time to go shopping for disposal supplies the day after his wife supposedly left town. So when prosecutors say this was a planned and calculated murder, when they say Brian not only killed Anna, but attempted to meticulously cover it up, they're not talking in theory. They're talking in timestamps, receipts, blood evidence, and search history. And yet, despite all this, what has the last 2 years looked like? Delay. Motion after motion. Legal maneuver after legal maneuver. Disputes over evidence. Fights over digital access. Motions to suppress. Arguments about chain of custody. Attempts to exclude Google searches. Attempts to exclude the trash bags. And now, the ultimate card, competency. The mental health claim. They say Brian is too impaired, too affected by a recent jailhouse assault to help his own legal team. And the court agreed to pause everything to find out. Here's something I think that should maybe be looked at. Did Brian pay the person to attack him? Is this part of his manipulating of the system? Well, if it looks like I was stabbed and attacked, I can say that was too traumatic and I'm not fit to stand trial. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you got probably maybe a 70, 80% chance that this was orchestrated by Brian himself. Seems stupid enough. That's my conjecture. Now, I want to say this carefully. If the injuries he sustained were severe enough to affect his brain function, if there's evidence that he truly can't process what's happening around him, that matters. It has to matter. No one wants a system that steamrolls over the vulnerable. But there's also a difference between vulnerable and strategic. Because what we're watching here isn't new. It's part of a long arc of behavior. From the second Anna vanished, Brian Walsh has shown the same pattern. Stall, deflect, and control. He lied to police in the early days of the investigation, told them he went out to run errands, left out the part where he was buying enough cleaning supplies to stock a crime scene cleanup company. He told investigators he last saw Anna heading to the airport, knew that was a lie. He reported her missing days after coworkers raised concerns. Not the first call, the last. That is not the behavior of a panicked husband. That's the behavior of a man trying to control the timeline after he murdered her. And now he's controlling the legal timeline too. Because let's talk about what time does to a case like this. Witnesses fade, evidence ages, public interest moves on. Prosecutors have already signaled this case could, involve up to 60 witnesses, many of them experts, forensic, digital recovery, behavioral analysis. Every delay stains that coordination. Every delay gives the defense more time to pick apart the puzzle. Every delay increases the chance of a mistrial, a hung jury, or a procedural mistake. And the defense knows that, and they're betting on it. They're not just buying time. They're devaluing the evidence. They're eroding the urgency. And let's not forget, Anna's body has never been found. That makes a trial even more dependent on circumstantial evidence, on building a case through behavior, through motive, through the aftermath. And in a case like that, time matters more than ever, because jurors won't see a crime scene. They'll see a trial, and trials grow cold. So the question becomes, how long can this stall hold? The current hearing, as of right now, set for October 27th. If he's found competent, the trial could resume literally in November. But even that's not guaranteed. The defense could challenge the results, argue for a second option, file more motions, ask more time for discovery, and on it goes. Meanwhile, Anna is still gone. Her children, three boys, are growing up with no mother. This piece of shit's in custody. Probably the best thing that's ever happened to them is the fact that he will not be a part of their lives. Unfortunately, mom is gone. With a hole in their lives, no court ruling can fix. The delay doesn't just affect prosecutors. It doesn't just impact the headlines. It affects them every single day. They are the ones living in the pause, living in the space Brian Walsh created. He may claim he's not well enough to stand trial, but for 2 years, he's been well enough to obstruct, to manipulate, and to twist the system into knots. What do we call that? We don't call it criminal, not yet. It's for the jury to decide. We can call it what it is. A man using the rules to delay the reckoning. A man with a history of lies, a mountain of behaviors pointing in one direction, and a growing trail of excuses. Because delay in this case isn't an accident, it is a strategy. And eventually the court will have to decide, is he just incompetent or just committed to avoiding accountability? There is no version of this where justice is clean. This is what it is. There is no outcome that makes Anna whole again. But what the public deserves, what her children deserve, is closure, is truth, is a process that leads somewhere. And right now we're stuck in the middle, in the stall, watching a man once again try to buy himself more time. But time isn't infinite, and justice doesn't wait forever. At some point, the system has to hold the line. At some point, the hearing ends, the trial begins, and the excuses run out. And when that day comes, if it comes, Brian Walsh won't be able to hide behind health forms or evaluation reports. He'll have to answer for his choices, every single one of them. Because in the end, you don't need a body to prove that someone disappeared. Sometimes all you need is a pattern they left behind. And in Brian Walsh's case, the pattern is everything. Tell me your thoughts. Do you think he planned it? Do you think he had a hand in the stabbing of himself to manipulate all this? I think there's a good argument for it. Or do you think it was a jailhouse thing? Jailhouse justice. Was it that? And is he completely taking advantage of those circumstances to put off the inevitable? It's an interesting question. He's a slimy man. He's a slimy snake of a human being. And there are no bounds to which he will stay within. To protect himself. That's what you're dealing with. At least that's my conjecture on it. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. To find us there, make that same search wherever you get podcasts, and you can join us there as well. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.